Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. Welcome back to the show. A South African fighting for ISIS is believed to have been killed last week during the battle for the ancient city of Palmyra. Bilal Kaji, age 38, was from Roshni in Vereeniging. He worked as a manager at a Benoni store before leaving the country in September to join the self-proclaimed Islamic State. Online is Professor Suleiman Dangor, Professor Emeritus, University KwaZulu-Natal, to give us some comment on this rather worrying news. Professor Suleiman Dangor, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Now, having a look at the situation, Bilal Kaji, 38, apparently died during battle with ISIS, but I also believe his brother, from the town of Roshni, died a few months ago, allegedly doing humanitarian work somewhere in Syria.
Yes, that's the report we have. I actually know the family pretty well, and I phoned his dad to express my sympathies. That was when the first son passed away, and in fact he told me that he had gone to do some humanitarian work on the Turkish-Syrian border, and there was a roadside bomb that went off, and that's what killed him. So, yeah, so this is the second son whom he has lost, and of course, according to the reports we have, he was killed in combat.
Now, killed in combat obviously implies very strongly that he must have been fighting for somebody against somebody else. And the only assumption we can make is that he was fighting for ISIS, because if it was Palmyra, Palmyra was held by ISIS.
Yeah. Well, according to the reports we have seen, it clearly says, states that he was fighting for ISIS. So, so I suppose we have to assume that's the case.
Now, if you look at the situation, where there's been reports of other South Africans going to Syria to fight for ISIS, how believable do you think these reports are, and is it possible to crunch any numbers?
We've had a few, from Roshni itself, we had a number of people going across, and some of them were actually stopped at the Turkish border, and they were sent back. I think a few probably got into Syria, and they came back to South Africa. There are a few that we hear are inside Syria fighting for ISIS. Of course, others have gone to join some humanitarian organization, and they are working in the camps and so on. But there's no exact number of people who have actually gone there. We do hear from, for instance, the Iraqi ambassador, who gives, I think, very inflated numbers, which is unfortunate because it creates a perception that, Muslims in South Africa support ISIS. And we know that the vast majority of people here certainly do not support ISIS. And even the United Ulama Council of South Africa, which represents the major Ulama formations in the country, has come out very strongly against ISIS. So certainly, I would imagine the majority of people in this country do not. But we know that there are some individuals and families who are sympathetic to ISIS. And so we will find, and of course, it does appear that these young people, mostly young people who are going across, are influenced by the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because ISIS is very sophisticated in the way it propagates its views. It quotes Quranic ayahs, hadith, and so on. And people who don't actually know very much about the Islamic texts, they get influenced very easily. And so we see now that international global scholars have actually come out to refute all these statements and the I think, globally, I believe just recently there has been a conference where Sheikh Owaisi has returned from, and again the scholars very clearly came out against ISIS propaganda.
In fact, that was a conference in Ireland, and the ulama in Ireland have made a determined decision not to allow into the country anybody who is going to come and preach a sectarian hatred, specifically the kind of sectarian hatred that one sees being uttered from the mouths of ISIS leadership. Professor Dangor, we also last year we dealt with a story where a family that had gone to Syria had actually returned to South Africa. We were led to believe it was due to some kind of disillusionment, but the minute the family arrived in South Africa, a veil of secrecy was thrown up around them, and there was a legal representative, and nobody could get past the legal representative. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I think he's not the only one. There's been a number of people who have escaped from ISIS. And they have given some horrific accounts of what is actually happening there. I think when people go over, they have this very notion that they're going to go and stay in an Islamic State and so on. And everything is hunky-dory, you know, very rosy. Because that's a type of picture that we just painted. But when people actually get there, and then they realize they have to fight. They actually have to fight. And you know, South African gangsters are really soft, you know what I mean? They like, they bought a car and their cell phones and so on, especially if they're coming from very wealthy families. I can imagine these kids suddenly being thrown into a battle zone and picking up guns and expected to shoot people. That must be quite a terrifying experience. So I'm not surprised that people actually, and of course, I'm sure that there are more who want to actually escape, but they can't, because if you try to escape from ISIS, you will dead meet. So, unfortunately, some of them are going to be stuck there. But there have been a number of people who have escaped from there and given us some horrific accounts of how people have been butchered and so on. So those the family you're talking about, they probably want to keep very low-key. And of course, as well as those people who have returned to Roshni, we don't hear anything from them. You know, people are making all kinds of assumptions. My personal assumption is that they're probably very embarrassed about what has happened and they don't want to speak about it.
Yes, because
they
want to
put the whole thing behind them and be integrated back into the families and into the community and just, you know, forget about what happened in the past.
Because Roshni was very much in the news, wasn't it? Because we heard stories of a group of nearly 20 people leaving Roshni and slipping over the border into Syria. And as you say, one by one, they seem to have filtered back into the country. And as you say, most of them totally disillusioned with what they found on the other side.
Yeah, we've been trying to get information, but they are not speaking because I think the lawyer, Joshua Taylor,
that's right.
He told him not to say anything. So,
yes, in fact, sorry, yeah, you should tell him.
I've been trying, but, you know, my brother is married. So I asked him, and he says, no, nobody's speaking, so we actually don't know what happened. So when the family's mum about the whole thing.
In fact, I've had Yusuf Taib on air on the issue, and he contradicted himself. He claimed it was a humanitarian mission, and then it became something else. In fact, you know, we've got the tapes here at the station. He was very, very dodgy in the way that he couldn't directly answer any of the questions, the hard questions we were asking, which led to a huge amount of frustration because we felt that the radio station, in public interest, people needed to know exactly what had happened. But, maybe his brief was to make sure that we didn't know exactly what happened. But Professor Dangor, another issue, and it's not a pleasant one for me as a journalist, but news has broken that a presenter at another Islamic radio station made a statement which appeared as if he supported ISIS, saying that Bilal Khaji had died fighting on the path of Allah because he was fighting for ISIS. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I read about it sometime this morning, and I've been trying to get information from people in Roshni, and unfortunately I couldn't get information. I wanted to know the exact wording. I wanted to know whether that was the presenter's views or it was somebody that he interviewed. And, we're not sure whether it was he was expressing his personal view or whether, you know, it was somebody that he interviewed. But in either case, to actually go to the extent, if this is what he said, you know, he's a Shaheed and so on and so on, is very problematic because then, you know, all the criticism against ISIS will make no sense. That if we regard people who go and fight for ISIS, who, and we all know, ISIS has massacred Muslims, Sunni, Shia, the Yazidis, and so on. They have raped women. They have, hung up people. For instance, people who do not fast in Ramadan, they were hung up for 2 or 3 days and so on. I've also seen images where they actually put people in a cage and lower them into a swimming pool and drown them in a swimming pool. So how can you actually support people with such behavior? And then if you fight for them, you know, can you actually go and, you know, to what they call describe these people as shared is very, very problematic because it gives a very, very different impression. And actually go on to a community radio station, which is actually a satellite radio station, where thousands of people are listening in, I think it causes very serious damage to the Muslim community in South Africa.
Professor Suleiman Dangor, Professor Emeritus at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, thanks for chatting to us about issues surrounding South African killed fighting for ISIS in Palmyra and alleged statements from a Muslim broadcaster which seem to express support for ISIS. Causes for concern. Professor Suleiman Dangor, thanks for chatting to us.
My pleasure.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.